Mrs. Johnson, reel one.
Beginning of the ward.
Well, first, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself before the war? What were you doing?
Before the war, yes. Well, I went to train at the Hull Royal Infirmary in 1910. I'm very old, you know. And I'm 86 this year. I went to train at the Hull Royal Infirmary in 1910, and that was 4 years training. And when I finished in 1914, beginning of 1914, February, matron asked me what I was going to do, and I had stayed on a little longer than I should have done because I was nursing a patient in what was then Sir Bartholomew's home in Leeds. You may have heard about it. He had a very big nursing home in Leeds. And I was nursing there, and they asked me if I would stay on, you see, but I wanted to go back to Hull, the sea matron. And I said, well, I was going to have a little holiday. And she said, well, will you come back here as a sister? Well, it's considered a very great honour to come back to your own training school as a sister. Salary was £32 a year, which was enormous. God, we thought it was wonderless. All our training, by the way, we had £8 a year. That was all. It was intended for stamps and shoe repairs. Nothing else. We were told that. We were told we were not to have any outside contacts at all. Mason didn't like to have engaged girls. Of course, no married ones. And no girl within a radius of 30 miles, because she would have home attachments. The matron didn't want anyone having home attachments. You see, a whole life, a whole mind, everything must be attached to the work. So we took it. We did 3 months probation, as it were. Then we signed. It was a voluntary hospital. We signed to stay for the period of time. 3 years actual training before we took our final examinations, and then a final year, the fourth year, either doing private work where we were sent to such places as Leeds, Lord Moynihan's home, or we were doing sister's duties. But it was a 4-year course. And when I had finished my training, I went back again as a sister in a men's surgical ward. And that I loved, because I liked men's surgery. That was the sphere of nursing I liked. And when the war broke out, I hadn't been very long as a sister. We all thought it was all going to be over by Christmas. Perhaps you remember, but you won't, but it was all going to be over at Christmas time. Do help yourself, will you?
Can you remember the actual first day of the war?
Oh, yes, I remember all about it. You see, it was, we were reading the papers all the time, and men were training. They were walking about the streets of Hull with carrying sticks over their shoulders and going into the parks to drill and all that kind of thing. The actual date that war was declared was when I was actually on holiday. Then I was in Scarborough, but before I then agreed to go back to Hull as a sister, but Matron gave me a little holiday, and I was spending it in Scarborough with my parents, actually, the day that war was declared. And then I sent a telegram. We didn't do much telephoning, did it? To see when I should return, and the date was fixed when I should return. And I went back again and took over my ward. And then began a period of great uncertainty, because they were calling up men. All were volunteers. You see, conscription didn't come in. Now, I'm not quite certain the date of conscription. I think it was about 1917. I think so. But the men were all training. You'd see men walking in their shirt sleeves, parading, with someone leading them. A very, impromptu effort, really, of what the last war Home Guard was. And I remember the parks were full of men training. There was a rush, really, to sign on, because they all thought the war was going to be over at Christmas. Well, I wasn't really engaged at that time, but more or less engaged to one of the doctors at Hull, who was the assistant house surgeon. And he was a New Zealander, so I told him I was going to volunteer for the army. So he said, well, he would too. But of course, being a New Zealander, he hadn't to sign up indefinitely. He could just do yearly contracts, and then he could be out if he wished to be. But I signed on for the duration of the war, never thinking it was all going to be over, you see. Well, I was called up. I have my mobilisation paper there in the green envelope. I was called up in May of 1915. And my husband was called up at the same time, within a week. And he went to a training camp in England, and then straight out to Gallipoli in 1915. I have a hospital ship that he went out on, I can show you when we look at the things. And firstly, I went to Beckett's Park, but I was called up. I had to report to the Leeds General Infirmary. And then I went to Beckett's Park, and I was there just a very short time in a tetanus ward, which was very alarming. You see, the war hadn't the medical work was completely different with war injuries. It wasn't the same as it had been before.
Was this a surprise to you? Did you have any training?
Beg your pardon?
Did you have any training for that sort of injury?
Of tetanus? Well, that all comes into one's general training, so you know that comes into the general curriculum of training. Because nursing, there are certain basic principles of nursing which go everywhere. The only difference is whether you do theatre work, operating theatre work, that is slightly different work. But the basis of nursing, the basic principles of nursing are the same. But I was not there very long because we were told that a new hospital was going to be opened, and I was destined to open one of the wards. Oh dear, has that been on all the time?
It's all right.
Well, tetanus is a most alarming thing, you know. It affects the nervous system, and the patients, they get stiffened, all their muscles stiffen, and then they arch their backs. It's a very serious thing indeed. A lot of it is fatal. That was before the institution of the anti-tetanus serum. Have you got more coffee now? Have you had some more coffee?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Things were getting very bad in France, with the men were going over all the agricultural land in France. If you can imagine, thank you very much. If you can imagine, the men were going over ploughed fields and agricultural fields, which is a very big source of tetanus, of course, manure. That's what I think is a great source of tetanus. And the men were coming back from the first expeditionary force, having been wounded in these fields, which were used with manure, which fertilised the fields. But then became so alarming that the anti-tetanus serum was evolved, or perfected, I should say, perhaps. Various doses were tried out on various men, because the smaller the wound, it is just as dangerous as a big wound. Because of the exclusion of oxygen to the wound. If you get a small gunshot wound, which almost looks as though there's nothing about it, it's just as dangerous as a bayonet wound would be. It's just as dangerous from the effects of getting tetanus. Because the tetanus is deprived of oxygen, is the wound. It closes up and it doesn't get very much oxygen. That's where the tetanus bacilli lives. Then we went, so many of us who had been at Beckett's Park were called up, and we went to East Leeds. Well, I don't know whether you know it or not. Do you know the St. James's Hospital? Have you been past it?
Yes.
You have. The first entrance leads to the hospital. The second entrance leads to these older part of the hospital. There's a lot of new building there now, I think, isn't there?
Oh, yes.
Do you notice a new part and an older part? Well, it was the older part. And we set up the sentry box outside. And the first large administration block that you meet when first you go in was the administration block. But there were two wards in that block, one for skins and one for other medical cases. And several of the rooms there were also divided into cubicles for the nursing staff. Afraid we didn't live in very comfortable circumstances with the living in cubicles with curtains in front of us and that sort of thing. Another block where I slept was also, had been four large rooms or wards, I suppose, and that again was divided into little cubicles. There would have been about four in this room, and we just had a little curtain in front of the door. We all open at the top, and a little bathroom opposite with two baths in it. But there again, we had to put a little curtain in front. We all had to sing in the bath to let people know who we and if you wanted to then soak in the bath a little way, you had to sing or make some sort of a noise splash or something. Because we only had a curtain in front of us, you see. But however, we married, we went along, that's quite all right. And then the two blocks on the right of the administration block were wards. One of them, standing slightly back, was all surgical wards. And there they were, one, two, three, four large wards, all surgical. To the right and facing the, coming to the Her Hills corner, was another block where I was. And that had three stories. The first story was the I ward on one side of the staircase. The other side was our improvised theatre, which I'll tell you about later. The second landing was two large surgical wards with a duty room in the centre. The third ward, which was mine, the duty room in the centre, and two large wards. That was all acute surgery. Then coming right in front of the building, there was another block which was all medical, two floors of medical wards, with an administration block below. And going right behind the new part of the infirmary was another huge block, which had three floors, and that was used a great deal for jaws and jaw and face injury and ear, nose and throat surgery and that sort of thing and other surgical cases. There was a very big hospital. And later, when things got very acute in the way of getting beds, they took over the whole of Killingbeck, which was then a TB sanatorium, and attached that to our hospital. And when things got worse still, they took over two schools in Roundhay Road. So it was altogether, it was a very scattered hospital. Do help yourself, will you? No, I won't have anything, thank you.
How many beds would you have in your ward?
Well, I'm trying to think. In our ward, let me show you one ward. This was a ward I went to first. And that's what I went to first. That's me there. Now, this is a double ward, you see, which equals, some of the wards were double like this. Others were single, so if you take it like that, it would be the full extent of the wards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And then they'd be the same this, that side, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And they'd be the same down here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 28, 27, 28. Say about 30.
Is that a normal size?
Oh, yes, that was about the size. Sometimes we had more. But say between 30 and, yes, 30, 35, I'd say. I'll show you another ward that I was later. I was in that ward for a certain length of time. That was Captain Gough's ward. No mention of him in that history of the Youth of War. No mention. Wonderful sirs. Well, unfortunately, they're all dead now. I think I'm the last remaining one. Well, I've heard of one other sister, but I think she's very, very ill and in a nursing home. I think she's had a stroke or something. But a record of those surgeons would have been absolutely marvellous if it had been kept, but unfortunately it hasn't. And then, after being on that ward for a time, Mason sent for me and told me that I was to take on as night superintendent. The surgical sisters had to do 3 months of night superintendent, which was awful. We had, well, there we slept in a school, not a school, I'm sorry, a working men's club. If you go from Beckett Street right up the Hare Hills, I couldn't find it now, I don't think, but it would have been a working men's club. And they commandeered, that was a great word in the war years, to commandeer something. They commandeered the middle floor of this club for the night nurses. And again, little cubicles. I had a little